So right now, you may be going, okay, what's going on with RCC? I want to know more about RCC. We're doing a series called It Is Written. It's straight out of the Bible. We're reading through the Bible through the whole year. And the reason why we're doing that is because the Bible is the word of life, it's the word of God. And also, we want everyone to know, even our people, hey, we're a Bible church. Like, don't take Nathan's word for it. Always look at the Bible and go, is that in the word of God? Like, you know, that's what it's about. And we really want to follow the truth. And so right now we want to encourage you to join with us. If you haven't done the It Is Written study, you can always get one of the books. They're out there at the Welcome Center. Grab one. Start today on May 23rd. It's a chronological study, and you'll find out what we're preaching on and what we're studying every week. And on top of that, I want you to go ahead and open up to Proverbs. If your Bible, you can open to Proverbs. I mean Proverbs 18. 21 here in a second. And I want you to take your bulletin. If you have your bulletin, I want you to write down two numbers, all right? Because today we're going to talk about out of Proverbs, the power of words. Two numbers. One number is this one, 16,000. 16,000. We speak on average 16,000 words a day. Now, some of you are going, I speak way more than that, all right? I can beat that number. And some of you are going, there's no way. But on average, we speak about 16,000 words a day. And so that means if you live to about 90 years of age, you will speak 525,600,000 words over the course of your life. That is a lot of words, right? And also a lot of opportunity to royally mess it up if you're like me. I mean, it's just amazing. We think about words, and I think about the power of words. It kind of helps me, and I think about tattoos. Now, follow me on this. All right, if I asked you, hey, how many of you got tattoos? A lot of hands would go up in the air. We have several people have tattoos in our staff. And the thing with me is, if you know about my personality, I'm kind of an extreme. And so if I got one, I know I end up with 1,000 before I know it, tattoos. And so I think about this guy. Old guys with tattoos kind of make people like me think twice before it's too late. So I decided I best not do that. But, you know, there have been people who got tattoos and they were impulsive decisions. Now, some people, you know, planned it out, but other ones were impulsive. And think about, like, this person right here said, my mom is my angle. I'm not sure what that means, but this one right here, someone said, hey, stay strong no matter what happens. I'm not sure if what happens to you, make sure you stay strong, all right, if that happens to you. And then this one right here is my favorite, Megan. Oops, I meant Holly. Man, that one's, if I'm having a bad day, I just look at that tattoo right there. It makes me feel good. See, sometimes people make mistakes, make impulsive decisions with their tattoos, thoughtless decisions, they get stuck with it. People go through the painful process of trying to get these tattoos removed, and oftentimes if you look close enough, you can see the words just a little bit. They're still there, a little faded. And I want to talk to you today, I want to use this as a metaphor to help us understand the power of our words. Just because our words are not tattooed on someone else's skin doesn't mean they're not there, that they're not tattooed on someone's heart or someone's soul. We grew up with the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will what? Never hurt me. And we grew up and realized that's a lie, right? I mean, words hurt. Words wound. Words linger. And it's devastating to ask people this question. What's the most painful, hurtful thing anyone has ever said to you? And when I say that statement, you immediately have something come to your mind. And it probably came decades ago. And it's like it happened yesterday. It's tattooed on you. I asked a question of that in a Bible class, and I had anonymous notes written back to me. And here's are some of the feedback about most hurtful things people have ever said to someone else. One person wrote that she was told, you would be so pretty if you would lose weight. Someone else was told, I lost a baby in a womb, and after a tough moment, a friend of mine said, we're all sick of hearing you talk about your dead baby. Someone else was told, God could not possibly use you. Someone else, this happened, they said, after my wife was diagnosed with leukemia, some people from our previous church said that she had cancer because she did not have a strong enough faith. And when you hear those words, you realize words can wreck somebody. And so in our daily Bible reading, we ran across some of these scriptures. And here's one of them. It's from Proverbs 18:21. It says this: the tongue has the power of what, church? The tongue has the power of what? Life and what? Death. The tongue, your tongue, my tongue, has the power of life and death. Even just a few words can breathe life into someone or death into someone, because you can recall those words. I mean, you guys are recalling probably 3, 4, even 5 words from a teacher, a parent, a sibling, a coach, somebody in your school. And it either brought life into your soul or it brought death into your soul. And those words are still tattooed on your heart today. Words have this astonishing power to bless or to curse, to tear or to build up, to encourage or to destroy. They bring life or they bring death. And each one of us is a product of the words that have been spoken over our lives. I mean, you're looking at a guy right now that is a sum total of the words that have been spoken into my life. I have been enormously blessed by people who've given me life-giving words, who've spoken life into me. And I know that. I mean, the role I play, often you get criticism. I mean, it just kind of comes with the nature of the position. And so what's interesting is those words, often people send the zingers, they send the emails or the note, and they're competing against all the words, all the ammo I have of people who've spoken life into my life, all my life, and they don't have a chance. I mean, I know I am loved. I know because my parents, for one, believed in me. They spoke words of affirmation into me. My family, like my grandparents. My grandparents watch every single week. They're watching right now. In fact, will you guys give it up for my mama, Carol, and papa who are watching right now? I love you guys. They watch every week, and they're some of my greatest fans. They're always rooting me on. Every week, normally, I'll get a text from my papa. It'll say something like this: hey, I know I said this last week, but that message, man, that was a great message. I really needed that message on sexual immorality, you know? I was like, that's kind of weird, but all right. You know, and so I have people when I was in kids ministry, I hope it's happening right now, that kids are being, words are being spoken to them of affirmation. You're loved, you're cherished, you got what it takes. When I went in student ministry, I had people come alongside me, youth volunteers who spent time with me, who breathed life into me with their words. And they would say, Nathan, I think you're going to become a great pastor someday. And I'm like, me a pastor? Really? They would say things like, God is really going to use your life. My life? I didn't believe it. But they spoke it. And I'm so grateful for the people of God who have spoken life into me, who've helped me out, who saw potential when I didn't know I had it. But some of you, even online, you're saying, I didn't have that. I didn't have that experience. And I'm just going to tell you that God can heal that wound in your life. If you've been hurt, if you've been wounded, I promise you, if you'll give Jesus a chance, if you'll give this church a chance, if you'll pour into here for a solid year and get in life group, serve, what's going to happen is you're going to spiritually mature, you will grow, and you can be healed through Jesus Christ. We see this all the time around here. And I promise you, there is wonderful healing on the other side. Now let me tell you about the power of tongue and where it comes from to give life or to give death. Let's go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible to Genesis. There God is getting ready to create creation. And does he get his Stanley tool set out to create creation? No. What he does, he uses words as tools. And he sees creation and it's formless, it's void. Darkness is covering over the entire earth. And it says in God's word, and God, look at this, and God what? And God said, he spoke, let there be light. And with his words, he creates the world. God uses words and life shows up. Light shows up. God uses words to create and to build. When he speaks, the lights come on. 2 chapters later, we see in Genesis chapter 3, a whole different use of words. Look what happens. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And look at this. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" See, Satan uses words as well. With his words, he destroys, he confuses. And here's what's interesting. The serpent's words were not even true. I mean, God didn't say they couldn't eat of any tree. He said they could not eat of one tree. Those words weren't true, and yet that did not keep them from having power, right? They still had power. And here's what I want you to hear. I hope you'll hear me on this. Many of you have tattooed on your soul, online right now, many of you have tattooed on your souls and your hearts words that are not true. I mean, people have said things about you that are not true. They said, this is who you are. This is your identity. And you bought the lie. They're not true. They're not from God. But oh, do those false words have power? With false words, the evil one divides, he destroys, he deceives, he confuses. With false words, the evil one, the lights go out into darkness, and it goes out from life to death. And so we see from the very beginning in chapter 1, the words have power of life. But then two chapters later in chapter 3, we see that words have the power of death. God speaks, he creates, he blesses, he builds. Satan speaks and he lies and he deceives and he destroys. And the life and power of words are hardwired into the universe. We see it in John chapter 1, when Jesus introduced the New Testament by John, he doesn't get introduced as Savior. I want you to notice how John introduces Jesus. Look in John chapter 1. The very beginning was the what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. Here's who he is. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In John chapter 1, God speaks life into the darkness. That's in Genesis chapter 1. In John chapter 1, Jesus is introduced as the Word that has come to bring light into, guess what? The darkness. And then in his ministry, Jesus continues to speak the kingdom into existence and into this world. Words are the tools that Jesus uses to bring life where there's death, to bring light where there's darkness. Listen, you and I, every single person here, even online, are made in the image of God. And your words have great power. Every one of you has more power in your words than you ever could ever comprehend or realize. They leave a permanent tattoo on the souls around you. They have remarkable power to bring life or to bring death, to build up or tear down, to create something beautiful or to destroy something beautiful. And so we are going to get real practical today, and because we need to get more intentional, I think, about the words that we speak, especially in 2021 in America. And I'm talking as much to myself as I am to every single person in this room. Here's a scripture from our daily Bible reading, I think so appropriate. Here's what it says. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a what? A word spoken at the what? At the proper time. You ever know somebody who speaks at the not proper time? You ever met, it's like, I need to talk to you about the problem we have right now. You want to do this right now at my wedding? Really? You want to do this right now? I'm getting to walk up and propose, you know, get married. And you want to do this right now? I mean, it's just crazy how when you pick the proper time, man, your words can be so much of a blessing. So I want to give you some tools about how to give life-giving words at the proper time. Number one is this, and that is affirmation. The first tool is affirmation. Another definition is encouragement. Did you know that there are no neutral words? Your words, every word, either builds up or it tears them down, tears someone down. Here from our daily Bible reading, here's some scripture from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. The words of the reckless, guess what they do? They pierce like a sword. But the tongues of the wise, they bring what? They bring healing. Do your words pierce? Or do your words bring healing? Another one, I love this scripture right here from Proverbs 15. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue, it crushes the spirit. Does your tongue bring life, or does your tongue crush people's spirits? Every person here needs to hear Ephesians. He says this about Christians. If you're a Christ follower, here's what you do in Ephesians. He says, we are in the business of building others up with our words. That's what we do. The only thing coming out of our mouths should be bringing life, bringing healing, building others up, and tell people who you work alongside, man, you're doing a great job. I saw you in that situation, and man, I'm telling you right now, you rocked it. Tell people that you work alongside how much you appreciate them. Tell your wife how much you love her, how much you adore her, how much she means to you. Tell your husband that you are proud of him, you respect him, that he's got what it takes. Text your spouse, text your kids. You guys online, text your grandkids right now and tell them, man, I am so thankful for you. You have no idea how much you are a blessing from God. I'm so proud of you. Tell your son that he's got what it takes, that he rocks. Tell your daughter, you know what, next to your mom, you're the most beautiful girl in the world. I'm telling you, when you speak life-giving words like that, they have more power than you could ever comprehend. Mary Ann Byrd grew up being different, and she didn't want to be different. And she was different because she was born with a cleft palate in her mouth, a disfigured face, a crooked nose, lopsided teeth, garbled speech. And when her classmates asked her, what happened to your lip? She did not want to tell them that she was born with a birth defect. Somehow it seemed more acceptable, and she would lie. She would say, actually, I was hurt as a baby. I fell in some glass, and it cut my face up. And somehow that was more acceptable to her. And she was convinced by age 7 that no one outside of her family could love her, that no one outside of her family could even like her. And so when she was second grade, Mary Ann Byrd entered Mrs. Linder's second grade class, and Marianne's life was changed forever. Mrs. Leonard was short, round, happy, pretty. Everyone adored Mrs. Leonard, but no one came to love Mrs. Leonard more than Mary Ann Byrd. What happened one day is she did a hearing test, with her students. She would have them come up to the front of her class, and Mrs. Leonard would whisper something in their ear, and then the student would have to repeat whatever they heard. She would whisper in their ear things like, you know, you have new shoes, or the sky is blue. Well, Mary Ann Byrd didn't want to go in front of the class, but eventually she was called up in front. And she heard the words from Mrs. Leonard that must have come from God's mouth. 7 words that forever transformed Mary Ann Byrd's life. Mrs. Leonard whispered softly in front of the entire class, right in Mary Ann Byrd's ears, 7 words, I wish you were my little girl. I wish you were my little girl. And those words gave her purpose, and it gave her hope, and she knew she was loved. 7 words. You can change a life. And I just want to say to all you change makers out there, all you who serve in the RCC Kids Ministry and our student ministry and our Connect team, never underestimate the power of affirmation to the next generation and to new people. I mean, if you're looking to plug in somewhere, help with RCC Kids Ministry, help with our student ministry, help with our Connect team. And I'm telling you right now, we need you to simply do what people did when I was a child. Look at those kids, look at those teens, look at those new people walking through the door and start speaking affirmation to them. Add value to their life, because God only knows what they're hearing out there. And our kids and our teens and people who walk through the doors are getting so much garbage thrown at them by the world, by social media. What if you just spent time with a kid or a student or somebody who's new and said this, you know what, I'm so happy you're here. I see God shining out of you today. I believe in you. There's greatness inside of you. God has put you here for a reason. You're going to do great things for God one day. And as your pastor, I am fully commissioning you to speak life into kids and students and new people in the name of Jesus so that everyone here today stands a little straighter knowing that we and God Almighty believe in them. Can we give God the praise that he's done that over us and that we can do that? Here's a second tool, and here it is, affection. Affection. People need to hear words of affection. I was speaking one time in Phoenix, and I was there, and I talked at the end of the service and said, hey, I need you at this time. I need you to talk to the person next to you and tell them you love them. Tell them you're proud of them or whatever. And so, and if you know, it's better if you know the person. It's kind of awkward if you don't. But anyway, you know, just go ahead and tell the person next to you while we're wrapping up service. And I had the whole church do that. And then afterward, a guy, big old burly guy, came up to me. He had tears in his eyes, and he said, thank you. And I'm like, well, thank you for what? What are you talking about? He said, today my dad was visiting. And when you told us to turn to the person next to us, he turned to me, and I heard him say for the first time in my life, son, I love you. And he wanted to thank me for that. Words have the power of life. And we should do all that we can to speak life into people because God does that into us. If you read God's word, you'll see his affirmation for us, how much he loves us, like this right here in Jeremiah 31 when he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You may not be loved by your family. You may not be loved by your boss or people you thought were going to be your friends, but you are loved with an everlasting love by the God of the universe. Paul says this over us, and he says about what we have in Jesus. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is an everlasting love. Amen, church? And you have that through Jesus. Now, before I head on, I want to give the guys in the room a heads up. I'm about to help you out, okay? I want to help you out big time, guys. Right now, I'm about to enter into my 22nd year of my wife in marriage. We're about to have our 21st anniversary on Thursday. She's been married to me 21 years. And it's taken me 21 years to figure out these words I'm about to share with you. These four words, all right? And I'm telling you right now, this will help your marriage out. The most romantic words you can say, I think, are these four words. And here they are. And then what happened? And when you say those words and she passes out, pick her back up and keep going with the conversation, all right? I mean, Rachel's always shocked when I'm asking for more information than she's planning on giving me. The four most romantic words are like, you're like, this can help you. And do you want to know why they matter so much? Because your spouse, I'm telling you right now, there can be life-giving words when you want to hear more from them. When you want to hear more words from them, you want to hear their hearts. And God's pay close attention to this verse. This could be maybe your life verse. Here it is right here in Proverbs. Even fools are thought to be wise when they keep silent. But when they what? When they keep their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Don't you love the Bible? It just gives it to you straight, doesn't it? In other words, if you'll just sit back, guys, and ask questions and listen, your wife will think you're somewhat intelligent, all right? The Bible says this in James 1. It says, everyone should be what, church? Should be quick to listen, slow to speak. I need this verse right now in my life. So I want you guys to help me pound it in my heart. Let's read this together on the count of three. One, two, three. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Not quick to speak and slow to listen, but quick to listen. That should be my go-to. I mean, if you're like me, you get home at the end of the day, I'm telling you what, you're fried, you're listened out, your temptation is to disconnect, to get uninvolved. What happens if you just took 15 minutes? 15 minutes to go give your wife a big old hug. And I'm talking about a hug, I mean a hug, and a kiss, and just sit there and ask, and then what happened? Over and over and over again, 15 minutes, just sit there and plug in and listen. I know some of you are going, well, Nathan, that sounds so positive, sounds so lovey-dovey, but how in the world do you have the hard conversations? How do you have the difficult things that need to be said without bringing death into a relationship or into a person's soul? So here's tool number four, and here it is. Speak the truth in love. You have to have that conversation. You got to talk about what's wrong. You got to talk about what's not working. You need to discuss those hurts and wounds in the relationship. You just don't say it in a way that intimidates. You don't say it in a way that frightens or damages someone. You don't throw things. You don't raise your voice. I mean, think about the last family fight you had. How long ago was that? Was it 2 weeks ago, 2 days ago? Maybe on the way to church this morning? I mean, that's happened sometimes. And here's my question. The last family fight you had, how loud did you speak? Now, I know someone right now is pushing back saying, but I'm Italian, Nathan. I'm Italian. I mean, that's how we do it. But here's the question. What zingers, what low blows, what buttons did you push, what verbal missiles did you fire? Question, have you ever changed anybody's mind by raising your voice and intimidating them? Has that ever happened? I mean, we need to learn this on social media, right? People seem to think that if I yell loud enough on social media and I call you names, all of a sudden the other side's going to go, you're right, I caved. That never happens on social media. It didn't happen in our life. I've talked to hundreds of couples, sons and daughters throughout the years, and never one time has anyone told me, you know, Nathan, that verbal missile was so effective. You know, when I zinged that one-liner, when I called her that name, when I told him where he could put it, I'm telling you right now, it just resolved the situation. Has that ever worked for any of you? No, of course not. But the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, we will speak the truth in what? We will speak the truth in love. Now notice the next part, very important. Next part says this, growing in every way more and more like who? Christ. That's what it's about. It's about becoming more like Jesus. It's amazing what can be said and how it can be received if you speak the truth in love. So much of how we communicate is about tone of voice, right? Rachel and I got married 21 years ago, and like right out of the gate, people were asking us, when are you going to have a baby? When are you going to have a baby? And so we did like many of you. We got a dog first, right? That's what you do. You get a dog. And we got a dog. We got the dog of all dogs. She was to my dying day, this is my dog. Her name's Jessie. This is hers, a puppy. My mom had me when she was 5, by the way. And Jessie, I mean, she was my girl. She was my girl. And I'd come home and I'd tail with Wag. And I could say anything to her as long as I said in a loving voice. She loved it, right? I could say, Jessie, you're the stupidest, ugliest dog in the world. And her tail would just wag, right? But if I came up to her and said, Jessie, I love you so much. You're wonderful. I mean, she'd run off, right? Why? Because of the tone of voice. You see, a loving tone in your voice disarms some of the most volatile disagreements. It de-escalates the emotion. And that is why I always say to the fifth tool I want to give you, and this is it, what we have to do is use I statements instead of you statements. What are you statements? You statements are this. You're a coward. You're lazy. You're so controlling. You're such a jerk. I don't trust you. That's a you statement. We turn things around when we use I statements like, honey, I get hurt when you come home at night and you don't talk to me. I mean, I don't feel valued. I feel like a bother. I feel like I don't matter. It changed things around when you say, you know, I was so scared the other night when you screamed and then you threw the remote control and you stormed out. I just want you to know, I could not sleep all night. See, when your problem person disagrees with you, you can't disagree. They can't disagree your feelings. You can't say to someone, you don't feel that way. And it won't work. You feel what you feel. I can't disagree with your feelings. You can't disagree with mine. The Bible says in John that Jesus was full of grace and he was full of truth. And that's what we have to aspire to be like. And I say what I believe, but I do it in such a way that you're not intimidated by it because it's filled with love. It's filled with grace and it's filled with truth. You see, truth without grace is mean, isn't it? You ever know somebody and they speak the truth, but there's no grace, and they're mean. But the other side of it's true as well. Grace without truth is meaningless. I don't say, oh, it's okay, son. I know you burned down the house, but I love you anyway, sweet pea. I mean, there's going to be consequences. But when you have truth and grace, it's the medicine for the soul. In our daily Bible reading, this scripture stood out to me. It says this in Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. Where does that discernment come from? It comes from truth. It comes from wisdom. But how is that instruction received? With gracious words. Is this helpful for anyone? Are you getting anything out of this? Is this helping you in a relationship right now? Maybe someone at work, maybe a sibling, maybe someone in your family, maybe a neighbor, maybe someone at school. And I hope that you're allowing God to say to you today, your words matter. Your words have the power of life and death, every single one of you. And you can start today by walking in this truth. You go to lunch, you could do it today. You could do it in the car. You could send that text. You could start using life-giving words, and you could have the best week of your life. You could create the relationships that you've been searching for with your words. So in this moment, I want to ask you, it's a serious moment. I ask for no one to leave. I just want you to stay where you're at. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's just sit with God for a moment. Let's just listen to God for a second. I feel like God needs to heal some hearts in the room right now, online. Some of you have been demolished. You've been devastated by people's words. And today, you need to open yourself up to God and start a healing process. And you could do that right now with your head bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to pray. God, I pray for those in the room right now and online who've been so hurt by the wounds of a boss, of a father, of a mother, their husband, their wife, their sibling, a friend, someone at school. God, I pray right now over this place that you would do a healing work in their hearts, and I thank you that you are here and that they are here. And Lord, may they hear your words of life, love, affirmation. God, encourage them today and allow them to hear you speak that you love them with an everlasting love that's unconditional, the God of the universe. And God, I want to pray for all of us who have said words that we wish we could take back. We ask for forgiveness from you, Lord, that you will take every careless word that we've spoken and erase it, Father. And Lord, even though we don't deserve it, would you make room in the hearts of the people, the ones we've hurt with our words, that they would forgive us as well. And God, we'll take responsibility for the words that come out of our hearts and then through our mouths. And we ask for you this week to help us be more intentional with the words of affirmation, affection, and that we would speak the truth in love, to be good listeners. And use us, Lord, to build people up instead of participating in a culture of destruction that we see all around us. Lord, this world can't wait to criticize us and everyone else. It looks to demean every person at every turn. And may we instead be people of you that build others up. May we do it today as we leave this place. And with your head bowed, I just want to remind every single person in this room that you cannot do this by your own power. You need the power of God living inside of you, and that's why the first step is you give your life to Jesus. And the power of God comes inside of you, transforms you, and does what you can't do by your own strength. So right now, I want to encourage you, if you want to give your life to Jesus and have that power, or you want to recommit your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you right now to repeat after me. Lord, thank you for allowing your Son to go to the cross to pay for my sins. I receive forgiveness today through Jesus, and I ask you to give me power to live only for you. Change me completely, Lord. I'm committing my life to you. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers and give us, Lord, thank you for giving us an everlasting love. And may we give words of life towards one another. And may these words of life through us get permanently tattooed on the hearts of those we love. But Lord, first, we have to hear your words in our life. And Lord, may it flow out of us into those that we love most in this world. Lord, use us to breathe and speak life. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. The whole church said, amen. I want to encourage you, we're about to have a time of communion. As you take the bread and you drink the cup, and if you don't have one, you can grab some in the breezeway. I want you right now, as you take this bread and you drink this cup, I want you to hear the voice of God. I want you to hear God's voice as you put this bread and you drink this cup. I want you to hear his voice say, like he said when Jesus was baptized, he's going to say over you right now, this is my son, this is my daughter, with whom I love, with him, with her, I am well pleased. I want you to hear God's voice say to you this morning, I'm proud of you, I'm thankful for you. I created this universe for you. I sent my one and only son to die for you. And if you were the only one who ever lived, I would send my son to die only for you. I want you to hear God's voice speak over you. And may, as we take this bread and we drink this cup, may this be engaged and may it register and may it connect and may it convict our hearts. And may we now speak words of life and love and the people around us in our life. Let's hear God's words right now speak over us as we take this bread and we drink this cup.